Let's look in the book of Psalms, chapter 89, I think it is. Psalm 89, and verse number 15. And I think we're going to see there where that the songwriter got the message to pen those words we were just singing. Psalm chapter 89 and verse number 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. Now, the joyful sound in the Bible is the message that the angels brought in Luke chapter number 2 and verse 10, where the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. The only joyful sound in the Bible is the gospel. The joyful sound of how God has made a way to forgive sinners through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to look at some Bible sounds today. There's all sorts of voices being heard in our land everywhere. There's new ones popping up all the time. And that's typical of a people that's getting away from God. And there's no doubt in my mind and your mind that our land is getting farther away from God all the time. Now, in the book of Corinthians, chapter number 14, we read this. There's several mentions of a trumpet in the Bible. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 8, we read this. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? Now that might not mean too much to you. It would to Mert, I'm sure, and it would to me, because we were associated in the army with the bugler. And when the bugler blew his trumpet, if we could use that word, then we got a message. It was time to go to bed, or it's time to get up, or it's time to get out on the parade square, it's time to get dressed to march or something, whatever it might be. And you got this all through the Bible, a trumpet blowing a sound. Numbers chapter number 10, you read that, the first 10 verses on your own. And there were two silver trumpets, and they were trumpeters. Now they weren't playing music for a choir. They were giving out a message to the camp of Israel. And a certain blow on the trumpet would be for a certain tribe to move. And another blow would be another one. Another one would be for the leaders of the tribe. Another one would be if there was war, an enemy was coming. And the trumpet was blowing out certain sounds that people understood. But this verse says, if the trumpet blows an uncertain sound, who's going to prepare himself to battle? Unless they know what the sound of the trumpet means, then who's going to prepare himself to battle? In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33 and verse 6, God set Ezekiel on the walls of Jerusalem in a figurative sense with a trumpet to blow the trumpet to God's people. Now in the Orient, cities were always built on a hill, and they had a huge wall around them to protect it from the enemy, and they would be people on that wall walking around it all the time, and they saw the enemy coming far off, they'd blow a certain tune on the trumpet, and the people in the city would know what to expect. You got this everywhere, and all the prophets spoke of that. Hosea speak about, set the trumpet to thy mouth. Isaiah 58 says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions. And you've got the sound of a trumpet all through the Bible everywhere. A certain sounds, a certain message that the sound gave. And people that understand that would know how to react. So we're going to look out a few sounds that aren't being heard too clearly today among Christendom. And the first one we want to look at is in Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. And verse number 18. Verse number 18. Speaking of people in our day, as well as in the days of Isaiah the prophet, where the gospel was clearly preached in Isaiah chapter 53, but they didn't get the sound, the proper sound. In verse 18 of this chapter, the writer goes back away from the sound of the gospel of Isaiah in Isaiah 53, and away from the sound of the gospel that Paul might be preaching in this particular chapter, and he goes back to creation to say that there was a sounding out from creation in verse 18. But I say, have they not heard, that is, all mankind, really, but especially Israel and everybody else. Yea, verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. You say, what sound is that? Well, that's a quotation. Let's look in the book of Psalms again, chapter 19 of Psalm 19, and we're going to see where Paul is quoting that from. Psalm chapter 19 and verse number 1. David says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto night, day unto day, wherever there's daylight, there's a speech being uttered. And wherever there's night, there's a speech being uttered. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them God has set a tabernacle for the sun, and so on. Now, this is the sound of creation. The sound of creation that Paul refers to in this chapter is that creation speaks to mankind. It speaks about a creator God. It speaks about a one that is all-powerful, as Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 tells us, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. But and it goes on to say in Romans 1:20 that the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And they're not only seen, but they're heard. Psalm 19 says that creation is speaking day and night, and their voice is going all over the earth everywhere, saying the sun and the moon and the stars and the firmament and the sky speaks of a creator God. Romans 1 and 20 says that creator God, we understand that he has eternal power and Godhead, and he's the creator of all things. So they are without excuse. Now that's the sound of creation. You don't hear that sound today, do we? It's there in the sky, but who's sounding it out? Who's blowing the trumpet? Who's saying that God created all things? Well, there's not too many theologians or scientists that believe in creation. The world on the whole, the media on the whole speaks about millions of years ago when man evolved, some big bang that happened, it all started, and so on and so on. There's a tremendous need for the sound of creation to be preached, for the blowing of our trumpets in our land, and saying that God is the creator, that God did create all things in heaven and in earth, that he is the creator. I remember J.M. Davies being with us many years ago. Merton Joe might remember him. He spent 50 years in India as a missionary. And I said to him, I said, where do you start when you go into a place where they know nothing at all about God or the Bible or anything? Where do you start? And he said, you start in Genesis 1 and verse 1. If you can't convince the heathen that there's a creator God, you'll never convince him that there's a redeemer God. These are the words he said. And a person must know God as creator in order to know him as redeemer. Because the very God of creation is the God of redemption. It's the one that by whom he made all things, and all things were created by the same Lord Jesus Christ before he ever came into this world. It's the same creator God that became the redeemer God. So there's a need for the sound, a trumpet to be blowing, blowing out the sound of God as creator. Now, I've got to move along. Let's look in Exodus chapter number 19. When man forsakes the creator God, it's like a person buying any product and throwing away the manual. And something goes wrong with your washer machine, but you don't know the first thing about fixing it. So what do? You go to the manual that came with the machine to see if you can find out what's wrong with it. But if you throw away the manual, how are you going to find out what's wrong with it? Every technician has a manual that they go by to repair whatever they're working on. And the problem with the world in a general sense is they threw away the manual, the Bible. They threw away the principles of the Bible, and they wonder why the world isn't working like it should work, why it shouldn't function like it should function. So there's a sound of creation that should be sounding out everywhere. Now look with me in Exodus 19 and verse number 9. Chapter 19 of the book of Exodus and verse number 9. It's not the exact verse I mean, but there's a verse here with a trumpet in it. Verse 13 is the verse I want. Moses is up on the Mount Sinai, and he's up there to get the law, the Ten Commandments. And in verse number 13, we read this. There shall not an hand touch it, the mount, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, then shalt thou come up into the mount. And when that trumpet sounded, Moses went up in the mount. Now this is the trumpet or the sound of the law, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given to a nation called Israel, but they are part of God's manual of civilization and humanity, because they are the basis of people living in relationship to God, the first four commandments, and the last six is our relationship to our fellow man. Now there's a definite need of a sounding out of the commandments to God, commandments in our land today. Even in the preaching of the gospel, if you look in the book of Romans, you're going to find many of the commandments mentioned, and the book of Romans is the gospel of the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. It's the law that tells us that we're sinners in His sight. It's the law that condemns us. Talking to a young lady up in Argyle ahead the other day, and she told me she was good enough to get to heaven. And I started just a few of the commandments. And she'd broken every one of them, she said. Every one of them. See, that's what that sound of the law should be going out everywhere. Today down in the States are having court battles over displaying the Ten Commandments in certain places. Some are making them take them down. They don't want anything to do with that. There's a tremendous need of a sound going out of creation, that God is the creator. And there's a need of a sound going out of the law of God. Now, the law of God won't save you, but the law of God is a standard that God lays out for His people. And if governments function on the same basis that the government of Israel was established in the book of Exodus, here with that law, it would be a lot better society in which we live. There's no morality in our land today. The old morality is gone and the new one has come in. We're living in a new age. Everything goes. And as they say, we're not living 2,000 years ago. The Bible's out of date. And that the law is obsolete. It doesn't apply today. Anything goes. Now, so there was a sound of creation that is not being heard today, like it should. It's there, but it's not being heard. Nobody's blown the trumpet. And there's a sound of the law that's not being heard today. And that law is really what should be preached in connection with the gospel to convict people of their sin and their need. That's why we wouldn't have so many people professing to be Christians who are living in adultery and living in sin and living in homosexuality and establishing so-called churches of people of those kind. So there's the sound of creation. We should be blowing a trumpet. That should be heard. And there's the sound of the law that should be blown. Now very quickly, look with me in Exodus chapter 28. The next important sound that we hear Word of God is in Exodus 28 and verse number 34. This is in connection with the high priest going into the most holy place with the blood of animals to sprinkle on the mercy seat to make an atonement for the souls of the people. The sins of the people. Now he only went in once a year. And he went in under a cloud of incense. And he sprinkled the blood seven times, which speaks of a complete atonement. And the people waited outside. They waited patiently outside to know whether he would come out alive or not. Because nobody ever entered into that holiest place of all in the tabernacle. Nobody could ever enter in there and live. They'd all die. And the high priest, only once a year, had to wash himself, remove his clothes, special clothing, and he had to go in and he had to take off of the altar of incense. He had to take incense, and he went in under a cloud of smoke, as it were, and he went in there with the blood, and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat. And the people outside waited. They waited. They waited for what? They waited for a sound. Here's the sound in verse 34. A golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate. That was upon the hem of his garment. A bell and a fruit around the hem of his garment. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister. And notice this. And his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. So they could hear that sound of those bells of the high priest going in to make an atonement for the people. And they waited patiently to know whether God accepted him and that atonement. And when they could hear those bells and pomegranate, when they could hear them on the way out, they knew that the atonement had been made. Now that's another sound that should be flowing out. You sound out the law of God that brings condemnation and a curse upon sinners. Then you sound out the sound of an atonement, but not the atonement of the Old Testament blood and bulls and goats, but the atonement of our Savior, where we read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, how he entered into once into the holy place made without hands after he had obtained eternal redemption for us. How we have access into the blood, by the blood of Christ in Hebrews chapter 10, into the most holy place of God, because the atonement has been made. So there's a tremendous need for trumpets to be blowing in our land about a God who created all things. and about a law that was given. The only thing we read that's written by the finger of God, other than a few other things on the commandment, but on tables of stone, that spoken once, written two times. And that law is what brings man into the place where he needs, where he realizes he needs a Savior that has atoned for those sins that they might be saved. Now, let's look. Let's look again in the book of, well, we've already looked at that. Blessed are the people that have heard the joyful news, the joyful sound. What's the joyful sound? Well, the joyful sound is the atonement that Christ has made for our sins. The law wasn't a joyful sound. It was a terrible sound to us because it condemns us. It pronounces a curse upon us. But the joyful sound is that Christ has died and made atonement for those sins. But look with me in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to see that sound again. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Now, if you want to read about the model local assembly in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 1 is that. It's the model assembly in the Bible. And in this particular chapter 1, Paul speaks about coming unto them and how they were born again. And he says in verse number 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in the Macedonia," that was a province in Achaia, "but in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." They were sounding out the message of the gospel. That's the sound that should be heard. And the gospel should be sounded out clear and plain. It's not just how Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day, but it's how to get in onto that gospel. And the two basic ways of getting in on the gospel is repentance toward God for what we have done and broken His law, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. That's basically the clear trumpet sound of the gospel. That's the sound that should be going out. That's the sound we should be constantly giving out. But we should also give these other sounds out. The sound of creation. And the sound of the law. And the sound of the atonement. And the sound of the message of salvation, to whosoever will may come and take the water of life freely. Now, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Here's another sound. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 51. We read this. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The trumpet shall sound." This is the sound of His coming. The Lord is coming. We got this again in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise." That's the sound of His coming. Now that's another message that should be given out. I remember many years ago when Roy Campbell was here, when I was first saved, and I remember him telling me afterwards, he said the best response he had to his evangelism was when he preached on the second coming of Christ. The sounding out, the sound of the trumpet that hasn't sounded yet, but will be sounded. But we should be sounding out that message. The Lord is coming. There are two things that's going to hinder people from being saved. That's going to end the offer of salvation. Either when they die, there's no gospel after they're dead. And people have heard the gospel. Once the Lord comes, they're not going to have that opportunity to be saved anymore. We should be sounding out the message, how that not only the message of the Creator God, but the message of the law of God that convicts them of their sins, and the atonement of Christ, and sounding out the good news of how we can get in on the gospel, and sounding out the good news, to us at least, of the coming again of Christ back to this earth again. So that's a sound of His coming. Now Revelation chapter 8, we look at that for the last one. Revelation chapter 8, we've got the awful, awful sound of judgment that follows that. Chapter 8 and verse number 6. We read there in verse number 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now this was a sound of judgment. Seven terrible judgments that would come on the earth. The land, the sea, the water, and the air. That's what everybody's concerned about right now. Pollution of the land, the sea, the water, and the air. And these seven angelic judgments and trumpets that they blew brought forth these terrible, terrible judgments, and is climaxed, of course, by the end of the tribulation and the awful overthrow of the wicked powers of this earth and the setting up of a kingdom and the final judgment bar of God. Those are simple Bible things that should be sounding out everywhere. Sounding out the fact that there's only one Creator God. In Genesis chapter 1 and on is the record of God creating all things. Not a myth, not a fairy tale, as many theologians are trying to tell us. Not a parable, but an actual history of God creating mankind. Sounding out the law of God, the Ten Commandments, bringing people under their conviction before God. Sounding out the good news of the atonement of Christ on the cross. Sounding out the message of how they can get in on that atonement by repentance and faith in Christ. And sounding out the fact that the Lord is coming at any time. And sounding out the awful judgment that will follow on those that know not the Savior, that who will die in their sins. That's why in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, we read that when the Lord comes back in judgment, that there's going to be mourning among the tribes of the earth. Though Israel will look on Him whom they have pierced, and many of them will be saved, many of them will hear those fateful words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for Thy word that sounds out the messages clear and plain to us. And we ever pray that we might pass those messages on to others that are dying in their sins, that we might live in the light of these things, and that we might proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ to all that we see, telling them about a law that they have broken and an atonement that has been made for them for their sins, and how they can be saved through faith and repentance in Christ. So we ask Thy blessing to be upon us for good, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.